Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Big 12 College Experience Preview and Picks Edition for Thursday, March the 14th on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head over to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. Promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus today. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, NHL, college hoops, and more. Sign up today using the promo code SGPN to get 100% deposit bonus match today. And we're brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter a Champs Bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download that Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use that code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the Big 12 College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Ooh, man, full day in the Big 12. We had four banger games of the day. If you're wondering who you're listening to, I am Moneyline Mac, and we're talking Big 12 hoops. So I'm joined by a man that's a walking contradiction because he was born in Provo, Utah. He's got family in Ames, Iowa, and he lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. He's rocking his BYU Jimmy Fredette jersey. Co-host the Ryan and Rush show, Rambling Rush. What is up, man?
The Great White Hope version too, man. Jimmy Fredette, just this Mormon boy in high school, watching him go and be like, hey, watching him, I can do anything. But hey, had a good day. Went 3-1. The one game I was wrong against was BYU. And of course, hey, I'll buy a win there. What it takes. Elliot Money. Yes. I think Troy got caught up in the snooze, maybe overslept his alarm. There it happens. I mean, the guy's got to get up at 4 a.m. and maintain a golf course. So when you're golfing during the summer and, you know, you got to thank those guys on the front lines maintaining that course. But, hey, man, a great day in the Big 12. Ryan, I'm excited. Another four-game slate tomorrow. It's great. Turning on basketball at 12:30. Got it in the background. Just working from home, man. I know March Madness tournament is the greatest time of year, but the conference tournament, dude, that's a shit show too. This is really where the March Madness begins. I know not Big 12, but just ask Villanova, man. What a game there too.
Oh my God. Everybody survive in advance, especially the teams that are on the bubble. I mean, we had a bubble team that clinched their spot, and then we got another team that's playing themselves onto the bubble. But let's talk about it, Rush. Your BYU Cougars led off the day with a nice win, 87-73. They make 14 threes. UCF got it down to three. UCF wasn't going to go away. credit to BYU. They won a 14-0. They won a multiple runs, made threes. Your thoughts on your Cougs headed into the matchup with the Red Raiders tomorrow?
So we saw this theme today, and I think we texted this a couple times back and forth, Ryan. Unfortunately, it happened to West Virginia yesterday, but for BYU and Cincinnati today, right, that the most dangerous lead in sports at college basketball, beat up 15 points, and next thing you know, you take a work-from-home meeting, you're on Zoom, and you look back up, and you're like, they were just up 20. How is this a game all of a sudden?
It's crazy,
hey, man. Shout out to UCF, though. They didn't lay down. You know, they think about it today, though, Ryan. You know, we'll get to BYU in a second, but we still have three of the newcomers in the tournament, and the reason we don't have four is, well, because BYU and UCF played each other. But, hey, shout-out to UCF. Great season. Exceeded our expectations. And Johnny Dawkins did an excellent job there, and look forward to seeing what they can create in the Big 12, especially where they are in Orlando and having that Big 12 title next to them. But going to BYU, interesting day because – I think we're in Ramadan, right? So Khalifa, who is a practicing Muslim, was fasting today. And this isn't just a food fast. It's water, too. And we saw it, too, Ryan. Like, we played high school football together. We had, a couple guys that were practicing Muslims on their team and being out in the two-a-day heat. And they can have water poured onto them. I think a couple of them, like, would put water in their mouth and spit it out. So curious how he responds tomorrow against Texas Tech. And no water, like, that's eventually got to catch up to you. And maybe that's why UCF got back into this game, when you got a guy that you rely on so heavily that can't drink water. So if, you know, BYU definitely needs to win tomorrow and play that 6:30 game on Friday and have that sun go down, quickly there. But hey, BYU, they shot the lights out. As we know, you can't make every three in the game. So, you know, there's going to be times where, you know, it's not going in, and the other team like UCF is going to get back in the game. And if you can minimize that to as much and as extent as possible and get those threes going again, I mean, hey, it's BYU. Excellent game. Way to show up in your first Big 12 tournament. Keep it going. Hopefully you can ride some of this momentum against Texas Tech. Cause we talk about it, Ryan, is sometimes having the game before, it may not last you the longest, but sometimes playing that extra game, right? We kind of saw a little bit with Cincinnati. We'll get there. UCF kind of came alive there. Hey, it may lead them to get revenge over Texas Tech, but hey, it was a good day for BYU.
It was a good day for BYU, and they've had a number. Dude, all these newcomers have played well, and I know the narrative is the Big 12 is not that strong because of that. It's just ridiculous. I think you just added quality programs into an already really good league, and BYU, they were top 2 to 3 team in the WCC every single year. They were knocking on the door every single year against St. Mary's, Gonzaga. Last year was their worst year in the WCC because of injuries and youth. Now they're older. They got a system. They got the right guy at the helm with Mark Pope. They're gonna be good. And you know what? Their fans traveled to Kansas City as well, which is what you talked about. Is the fan base is really loyal.
Oh, yeah. They're a national brand, and I don't know if – I know we've talked about this before. I'm not sure if it's been on the Ryan and Rush show or on here or just in private conversations or a combination of it, but Mark Pope is doing a hell of a job as a coach. Watch out. I mean, he played at Kentucky, as we know, and I don't know if Calipari has a year left or, you know, another 15 years left with his lifetime contract at Kentucky, but – you know, obviously BYU has their limitations being affiliated with the Mormon faith and the honor code. We all remember Brandon Davies from the Jimmer for that year, but potentially prevented a Final Four run and ended up losing to Florida in the Sweet 16. But hey, I mean, you could see him coaching, a school like Kentucky or somewhere else here in the next coming years. But, you know, maybe he has his fit at BYU and he's kind of figured out his system there too. I mean, that's a real thing as well. So, really, I know we'll get to the game. We got more games to recap here, but excited for the rematch against Texas Tech. This was the game where I think they were up 17 going into the second half in Lubbock and blew that lead. So they're definitely going to want to get revenge in this game, and hopefully they can carry that momentum in shooting the three-pointers into tomorrow, and Texas Tech maybe comes out a little flat too. So hey, we'll see. I think that's going to be a great matchup, and that's that 5-4 game's a hell of a way to start Big 12 play tomorrow, especially at 12:30 Eastern time, 11:30 local.
No doubt. And Brian makes a good point. Dude, the officiating in the Big 12 today was atrocious. I mean, the Texas K-State game and some of those flagrant fouls, the BYU, the box out flagrant foul. What? What are we talking about? West Virginia Cincinnati yesterday?
Yeah. Who was one of the refs on that West Virginia Cincinnati game that was then a ref for BYU?
Kissinger, man.
Yeah. I literally said, you're like, that guy should be suspended, which I agree for being terrible yesterday. Yet he starts the very first game in the Big 12 and he'll probably be at the Texas Tech BYU game tomorrow as well. Here's the thing is, we both agree refs will never be perfect. You know, they have their nights as well, but as you know, we're on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Is gambling becomes more legal and legal, these refs need to be held more and more accountable. Like agreed. There's going to be issues. Like this is kind of, we're in that like kind of warning area of like a little heads up everyone, but they need to get cleaner on their calls, but also the flip side of that, and I don't think this is a contradiction. I think both things can be true here, is I think also the reason they're so bad is because they rely on going to the video replay so much, which has to stop, because then that messes up the flow of the game too.
Dude, there's like a replay per media timeout now. Like, get that shit out. Like, I'd rather them miss a call. I'd rather keep the game flowing. Nobody wants to sit around and the coaches have a timeout every other possession. That's not
And I understand the argument of get the call right, but what's righter in the grand scheme of things? Yeah. Like the team that's has momentum and is doing well throughout the game being allowed to continue that momentum, or you know, maybe it's out of bounds, tipped out of bounds, and you know, they end up losing 2 points rather than the other team all of a sudden having momentum, which leads to like a 12-2 run or something like that. So yeah, there's a problem that's gonna have to get figured out. And you know, maybe the gambling, maybe the D-gens are the ones to take on that revolution, that war, because something's gonna need to happen. Especially when people are staking money on all these games. It is an issue.
Yeah, it is. Let's go over second game.
Let's do it.
BYU will play Texas Tech tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern. TCU rolls Oklahoma. This was my lock. I mean, this was the easiest play. I should have put more on this. To be
my lock too. We both locked. Yep.
I thought you had. Oh yeah, Troy had Texas. You're right. Yeah. So we double locked this TCU. And honestly, the final score doesn't even indicate the game. It says 77-70. Oklahoma shorthanded. They pulled the old, we know we're going to the tournament. We're going to rest the guys that are banged up just like Kansas did. TCU, desperate spot, easy spot.
Easy. Yeah, and of course, there's nothing wrong with that strategy. Hopefully, it serves them well in the tournament. I mean, we talk about it as much as – everyone can see the logos at the bottom of the screen for our YouTube audience. The horns down and the upside down Oklahoma sign. You know, you can hopefully the door doesn't hit you on the way out. But as we saw in Texas, like, you know, football, hey, you might as well earn the Big 12 a couple bucks on the way out too. So, you know, we hope these schools do well in March Madness, right? You might as well get paid for their brand while they're leaving while you still can. But yeah, you and I both thought the same here. TCU kind of needed that one more win to solidify their place in March Madness and maybe keep that first bye. And they did so. Be curious how they respond against Houston. I know we'll talk about that later. But hey, still give credit to TCU coming in there. Jamie Dixon had the guys focused. And, you know, Oklahoma knew that they had their spot in there. I don't know if there's been any Porter. Has there been any updates? Like, I know he had the DePaul that was talked about. Did he ever sign an extension with Oklahoma or
say one way or another? He shot it down. So I could see him leaving. He always was a weird fit at Oklahoma, but I mean, they've had a good year. They're 20-12, 8-10.
They had a great year.
They had the ability to rest starters today because they're firmly in the field. So if you told them at the beginning of the year, I think they would have signed up for them after missing the tournament the first 2 years. So,
well, the thing is too, for his case as well, you're going to the SEC, so you're leaving the Big 12 regardless. But I mean, I get it. La Jolla, Chicago is where he was at, you know, DePaul being in, you know, go back to Chicago, not a lot of pressure yet. You could still make a nice payday. So I mean, you know, that's, I'm not saying, obviously you brought up the main point of them resting guys, and that's, I guess, more of the story here, but you know, you wonder sometimes those secondary storylines, how much of an effect they have in the locker room. So I don't know.
Agreed. So, I'll tell you where else you can agree or disagree. That's over at Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Social betting platform, head-to-head, put your money where your mouth is, create your own bets, group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, users, groups, fans. You got it all. 15% off everything in the merch store with the promo code MADNESS. And I don't know, looking at tomorrow – you got Houston laying a big number. You also got BYU laying a short number against Texas Tech. If you want to get in on some action, go head to head with your friends. Get over there to Cut and put your money where your mouth is, baby. So promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus today. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports and also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. We love Underdog Fantasy. Troy's not here to give it out. Rush, do you got anything that you're looking at maybe for tomorrow with some higher or lowers?
I do. I'm really looking forward to this BYU Texas Tech game. I think it's going to be a shootout. I have a strategy to this game later, but because how competitive I think this game is going to be, obviously BYU wants to get revenge. They're great at the 3-point line. Texas Tech comes in the game rested. They're going to be ready to go. They're going to want to make a statement as well. I'm going to go higher than the 153.5 for that game. I also think that of all the four games tomorrow, this is the game. You know, it's a 5-4 game, so Shocker 2 has the greatest chance of going into overtime. So, you know, if it's cutting close there and you get that overtime and have a higher on one of your bets, that can only help you, right? So I'm going to go higher, 153.5.
153.5, and if you want to pair with BYU -2, get over there to Underdog and maybe make a little bit of cash. So people like the Cougs, people like the hires. Get on over there to UnderdogFantasy.com. It's the best. Like I said, it's the best growing and fastest growing app in the industry. So Underdog Fantasy, promo code TCESGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Alrighty, we are back on the Big 12 College Experience, and we're moving along to game number 3 of the day of our recap session. And that was the game of the night, to be honest, in the tournament. Kansas State rallies back to stay on the bubble, stay alive. They beat the Texas Longhorns 78-74. Rush, you were the only one that got this one right. I thought they would run out of gas. They trailed at the half 39-29, down 10. 10-point game. And they grinded it out, man. They took the fight to Texas. They looked like the desperate team the second half.
They did, and that's kind of what I was banking on, at least from the spread. Like, you know, like I said, they didn't take him as my dog. So, but, you know, it's something about this time of year, and you're a desperate team with a little bit of history being in big spotlights. Obviously, they were there last year. Tang knows what he's doing as head coach. But they did a good job of coming back in this game. And like we joked about earlier, I guess I used 15 points. But hey, when that double-digit lead is the worst thing you can do in college basketball, you got to keep it as close as you can to keep momentum going, I guess. But Kansas State, they you know, Asmus at the end there, he did everything he could not to
keep every game.
I know. He just three after three for a second there. I'm like, ooh, if Kansas State misses a free throw here, I mean, we're going to at least have overtime. And you know, usually when you have overtime and a favorite's been battling back in the game, nothing good happens there. But hey, the you know, fade Texas when their favorite system worked. I will say you created that system, Ryan. So credit to you as well.
I went against it.
But hey, we got farm. It happens. We've all been there before. But got Farmageddon on the hard court tomorrow, and I think is Kansas State going to be a 1 or 2 seed in the NIT, or are they going to go be a play-in 11 seed? And it all depends if they can win tomorrow and beat Iowa State. So they obviously just did that, but that was in Manhattan. But I guess they're also playing in Kansas City too. So a little home court, but you know, as we know, Iowa State fans will show up as well. But Kansas State did what they needed to do, and you sent just like the other SEC partner, Oklahoma, sent horns down Texas to their last Big 12 tournament into March Madness out in the first round. So we will not have a defending champion Big 12 team this year, Ryan.
Yeah, and I also think Dylan Dessou getting in foul trouble was a killer. That's their whole team. Like, if Dessou gets in foul trouble, and when he wasn't there the first month, they sucked. But when they got Dessou back, they started looking like Texas again. But Perry made big shots. Kaluma did as well. And it sets up another opportunity. I mean, if you beat Iowa State again, if you beat Iowa State for the second time in 5 days, including a win with Texas, then I think the committee has to.
You have to
take the. If we're talking about fucking Villanova as a fucking bubble team, Kansas State beat Villanova, and Kansas State has a bunch of quad one wins now in Big 12 play. They beat Kansas at home. They beat Iowa State at home. They obviously just beat Texas on a neutral court. So Kansas State quickly playing themselves right onto the bubble. They beat BYU. Beat BYU at home. That's a quad one win.
They did.
They beat Baylor at home. So this is the benefits of playing the Big 12. You get a lot of quad one opportunities, and I know a lot of people bitch about that, but when you win those games, it sets up opportunities to get more teams in the dance, and maybe K-State can squeeze in as the 10th team.
They should. I mean, it would make too much sense, but we know how they like to rig this thing. All, of course, you see all the ACC games on ESPN, but we have to go to ESPN Plus for the Big 12, the best conference in the league. So
it's so dumb.
We know where the favoritism lies. The good thing is I like to look up Lenardi's bubbles and where he had Kansas State as yesterday. And the good thing is Lenardi's always wrong. So he had him a little far out. So I think as of right now, they're the next four out. And I think with this win, it solidifies it. I will say this, if by some miracle, because I think we're all leaning towards Baylor beating Cincinnati and, you know, Cincinnati's magic kind of finally runs out. But if for some reason it's Kansas State, Cincinnati, you got to put the winner of that game in March. You have to.
Yeah. Well, the irony is that the winner of that would have an opportunity to clinch it outright in terms of not even leave it up to the committee because they'd be playing in the championship game. So yeah,
fair too.
If we are 2 wins away from having a K-State Cincinnati semifinal, that would be absolutely phenomenal. But shout out to K-State. Glad to be wrong on this one. Horns down forever and ever. Final game that just went final. Cincinnati drills Kansas. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought about getting cute and taking Kansas just because I knew that Cincinnati would be trendy today, but they're not winning without those two guys. They already don't have any depth with those guys. Now you take the two most – you take the best player, and then you take the biggest player that has the most talent off, and you have no shot.
Yeah, I think you said it best in the episode yesterday was – What this come down to, because I almost got cute myself too and being like, whoa, everyone's on Cincinnati, you know, here comes, you know, Kansas. But you said it best yesterday when you're like, I don't think Bill Self wants to win this game. And I didn't think so either. I know. I think he wanted to rest guys. I think he wanted to give them a reason to give them shit. The announcer said something funny. I think it was like with 11 minutes left and they were down five inbounding the ball. And the announcers were like, oh, if Bill Self knew this situation with their players out, would he take it? I'm like, I think Bill Self wishes he was down by the 20 points right now. He doesn't want to be there. Like those Cincinnati fans, they seem just as loud as the Kansas fans there. And, you know, it's in Kansas City. So I think everyone kind of knew what was best for Kansas was just take it on the chin. You know, no one will hold it against you. Life will go on.
We're going to see this more and more. We've slowly started to see it. And it started in the COVID year. Bill pulled the same shit the COVID year. They had McCormick go out and all of a sudden he goes, all right, we're contact tracing the whole team and we're bouncing out. And then Duke did the same or Carolina did the same. And then all of a sudden all these fucking blue bloods or high majors were like, all right, we're not playing the conference tournament this year. Remember that shit? The COVID year,
of
2021,
course.
The bubble year. And it was just because they didn't know if they could win it, but it was convenient of let's get some rest. Let's get ready for the NCAA tournament. Let's not risk doing whatever, I guess, getting somebody hurt. Bill's pulled this stunt before. It was the COVID year. Now he pulled it with Dickinson and McCullough probably could have played tonight, but I do see his side. They're probably going to lock him into a 3-4 seed. They got drilled tonight by 20. If McCullough and Dickinson play and they lose by 2 or 3, they'll probably drop a seed line. Now they won't drop a seed line at all, despite losing by 20.
And let me clarify a point here. I think I got the chat a little riled up. Yes, it was clearly a Kansas home game. I'm talking from a pure...
It wasn't a vintage Kansas crowd.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a vintage... I'm talking proportion here, like what we've seen historically. It wasn't a historic Kansas crowd. And also, you could just tell it just didn't have the same energy
vibe
that it normally... Like, they knew. Everyone knew it was up. So that's what I'm saying. And you did. It sounded like we saw it in the West Virginia game yesterday, and then obviously this game here. It sounds like there's a good bit of Cincinnati fans that showed up there. At least it sounds like it from the TV. I it's obviously where they have the speakers and cameras might be right next to the bench, so it could sound loud for anyone there. But I think this is becoming a it's with where this conference is and where it's headed, man. I know what was funny where you got in a fight with Kansas fans. It looks like Kansas fans might have won a little bit, Ryan, with your remark saying it's going to be there through 2031. I don't know if I agree with that. I would put it in Vegas every once in a while. But, hey, maybe the center of the country with the way conference is expanding makes sense. It's just, you know, when you're trying to take – we just remember it because of West Virginia. We would always try to take down Kansas, and it's like this is just a home game for them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That crowd tonight was nothing compared to what,
not even close.
So actually there was a lot of blue, but there was a lot of purple too. And usually Kansas fans just box K-State fans out of that crowd. There was more purple tonight than I thought. And traditionally that there would be. Wait till you see tomorrow night when K-State and Iowa State, cause Iowa State,
that'll be popping.
Iowa State travels just as good to this tournament as Kansas. When Kansas and Iowa State have played in the title game, I don't know if the Iowa State fans are just drunker, but
it might be.
It's more like when Iowa State scores, it's more loud than when Kansas scores. So maybe it's a 55-45 or 60-40 Kansas crowd advantage, but with a couple more Bush lattes that put the Cyclone fans over the hump, where it makes it sound like Iowa State is a home team. Tomorrow, Monty's in the chat saying KSU had about 60-70 tonight. That's what I saw. I think Iowa State will have more tomorrow night. Or I think it'll be 50-50. I agree with Monty. I think, but those Iowa State fans, that 50-50 means it's going to be fucking 75-25 in terms of loudness because they're crazy.
Although it's going to be good.
K-State too, man. I mean, K-State's playing for their lives, so it's going to be a fun one tomorrow night when those two hook up. But I'll tell you what else is fun. What else is fun? It's your little leprechaun, because it's the month of March, baby. God. So get over there to Manscaped. Top of the morning to all you. Brought to you by St. Paddy's Day, Shamrock Shavers, Manscaped. This year, Don't be chasing all them rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders below Kilcare. Say goodbye to your clover forest and Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. Let your confidence shine bright and embrace the luck of the Irish. And join over 10 million worldwide who trust the good old Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use that code SGPN to get 20% off with free shipping. Everybody loves Manscaped. And, you know, talk about everybody in the chat asking when's the main show. Colby's on the main Sports Gambling Podcast show right now. This is the Big 12 show, so we're going at the same time. After their show's done, Colby and I will do the basketball picks for tomorrow. And I think Noah too. I haven't talked to Noah today, so I would assume he'll be there. But hey, you know, the LeBaron's going to be there in Vegas here in 72 hours. Get 20% off shipping with the code SGPN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping. Code SGPN at manscaped.com. St. Patty's Day. Make sure your little hairy leprechaun is luckier than ever with Manscaped.
All right. Just make sure Noah cleans up his facial hair, then down low, not down low, then up. Make sure he does the right order.
We're also brought to you by, we do have another ad read actually. We're also brought to you by Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters to make sure you register now so you don't miss out. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. All righty. We're back talking Thursday games, and well, let's fucking lead it off with the bang. Wow, this game is going to be good. This game is going to be really fucking good. BYU's headed to, or not headed, they're staying in Kansas City. They're taking on Texas Tech. They played late January. BYU was up 15-16 at half. Texas Tech grinds it out. Rush, why do I feel like BYU is going to be the set? I feel like everybody wants to pick BYU right now.
Probably do.
Yeah.
I will say the line's back up to 2 now if we're doing
it. Is up 2?
Yeah, it's bounced around. It opened at 2. It got bet down to 1.5 and went right back up to 2. So
there we go. Just, active.
Dude, I think this game's going to be, like I said, is so Troy brings up an interesting point. He's brought this up before, and I think this is the way to go. If you think BYU is going to win this game, just get him on the money line. Don't play around with these, because this can easily be one of those games where BYU is up, let's say 2, you know, I guess where it would be a push anyway, and Texas just banks a half court 3 to win the game. Like, I think this is that type of game. That's why I kind of said when we did the higher or lower, why I felt more confident in the 153.5. But I agree. When I'm betting on this game, I'm going to be picking BYU on the money line. But, you know, for this purposes, we got the spread, and life's fun with the spread. I do think BYU gets their revenge. So I'll also take BYU minus 2.
I'm going to take Tech. And my reason is McCaslin's good in tournaments. We've seen it with him at North Texas, his track record. I think he's been scheming up how to stop BYU all week. I think BYU had to worry about their game today. I like Tech here, actually. I'm going to take Tech to grind this thing out, drag it in the mud. I thought UCF showed flashes. I also like to fade jump shooting teams the next day. They came out with a nice pop, made, what, 4 or 5 threes to start the game, and then I felt like it kind of came back to the pack a little bit. I think some of those jump shots get a little bit long here, and they come up short. So I'm going to take Tech, that backcourt with Toussaint Isaacs, to grind this thing in the mud. But I think this is going to be a one possession game.
Yeah, I'm excited for this game, man. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great one. Like I said, I don't think, like, I totally get what you're saying with Tech, and I'm drinking maybe a little bit of the bias juice. Like I said, I'm way more comfortable on the money line.
Dude, I like BYU. They're
fun. But I don't think there's a wrong pick here. Like I'm even debating, is this maybe more of an in-game bet for me, Or I may just be like,
whoever goes just, up 10, take the point. Whoever
there
goes
you
up
go.
10.
Actually, just do that for the rest of the tournament.
yeah, no doubt.
BYU, Kennedy's also, he's doing some soaking. He's on BYU as well. And also a shout out to Kennedy, went undefeated today, yesterday, whatever part of the time zone you're in. Kennedy is now four games above, pardon me, I miscalculated. Five. Kennedy is five games above 500, man.
Everybody take the coins.
When in doubt, just flip a coin, boys.
Take the coin, baby. Next game up. TCU's good. Or so I keep saying that. I'm used to regular season. TCU taking on the Houston Cougars. Houston's laying a big number, laying 10. Game open at 8. Bet right up to 10 right away. I think I will be very alone on this pick. But I like TCU. And I think they got the pressure game out of the way. They got in the tournament. I think they play with house money. They play free tomorrow. Jamie Dixon as a dog. There's Kennedy.
Kennedy is real. Coke.
Yep.
Coke booger ass. Sorry.
I think TCU has athletes. By the way, they only met one time this season. TCU won because they can match their athleticism and physicality. This is going to be a fucking barn burner, in my opinion. I think Houston's going to win by 6. I think this is going to be a fucking physical-ass game. TCU, we've seen TCU when they go up in competition, I feel like they get better. Like, you think about Arizona in the round of 32 2 years ago. Gonzaga last year, they lost it right at the end. They beat Houston this year. They always have given Kansas fits. It's when they play down to their competition, and I think they just know how to drag the games in the mud. Jamie Dixon, veteran coach, give me the Frogs here, and I'll fade the Cougs in their first ever Big 12 tournament game with the target on their back.
So TCU's been a fascinating team, very up and down. Right, there's the argument that they play to the level of their competition, as Damani says here in the chat, and I completely agree with that. So there was concerns, right, going into this game today, that if TCU lost this game, like, could they slip out of this?
Or I was nervous.
I was nervous as well, and clearly they put that to bed. I think TCU kind of knows that, and I think they know they kind of put it to bed, and I do think there's kind of this element of when you know you're not going to win a tournament, but you also, you know, you're in the Big 12, you already played in the best conference in the league, you kind of know you can hang with anyone. Why not save it for March Madness? So my only concern with Houston is they're actually the definition. If they go up by too much in the first half, then they just kind of chill out there. So Houston very well could go up 20 and TCU could cover this game. So that's my only concern about this. But I do see Houston winning between 12 and 16. I'll say that there. I'm pretty confident Houston's going to cover this game. Just excellent defense. I think they have an answer to TCU's athleticism and their ability to score. And I think Houston kind of wants to come out, you know, get it going again. And, you know, I'm curious to see now that we'll have the 1 through 4 seeds with the double bye start playing tomorrow, which teams come out, you know, ready to go and which teams kind of come out a little slower. I do think Houston kind of wants to make a statement and say, you know, we're now the name in the Big 12. I'm gonna lay the points with Houston. This 10 doesn't worry me too much. Now, I will say I saw when it came out right at 8.5, and if we'd done the show then, I would have, like, you know, that's why it's really important and why you and Colby obviously try to always get these opening lines, because the opening lines in college basketball they're everything. So that 8.5, I'd be feeling a lot better. But I'll still lay the 10.
All right, let's there see we go.
Kennedy has to say about it. Kennedy's on TCU as well, Ryan.
Boom. So we're on opposite sides, two games. So you can ride with Rush, you could ride with me, and get over to Cut if you want to.
Or you can ride with Kennedy.
Yeah, go with Kennedy. Who'd you say Kennedy was on? Sorry.
He's on TCU. So he joined me for one, join you for one.
He's splitting the difference. That's usually what a coin does.
There you go. Yeah, that's it.
wow. I forgot to put the spread in this game. It just came out an hour ago. Iowa State is laying 7.5 against Kansas State. They just played last weekend. Kansas State won the first meeting in Ames. The line was 7.5. I remember that. Iowa State did cover. They pulled away late. It was a competitive game. I got to take the points. This is Farmageddon. This is Farmageddon for Kansas State season. I know they're off a back-to-back loss. I know Iowa State has not played a game. I know they've had the circle. They want their revenge. But Farmageddon always comes down to the wire. We just saw it a week ago. I think K-State has the formula to drag this thing in the mud, and I'll take the points with Kansas State here. In a spot where they're playing for their at-large resume, one possession game. This might be a money line play. I mean, K-State might win this game. They got the magic right now.
Yeah, definitely a candidate. I'm with you. This is the first one we agree on. It's, you know, it's Troy's favorite line, -7.5, you know, in honor of Troy. But, you know, I think this is another grinded out game. I'm really excited about these games tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, this is when, you know, rubber really meets the pavement, and we'll just see who's tougher and more physical and willing to grind out these games. Hopefully the refs can have a good game too, but obviously we've already talked that over. But, you know, I went with Kansas State the first time, you know, got to keep riding with them. Let's get them to the tournament. Let's get 10 teams in here. And hey, I think we both believe they're really one game away from doing that. So
yeah.
Hey, go Cats. And you know, I think they got to at least cover this 7.5, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get the Super Bowl effort from them. And I mean, Iowa State, it's hard laying 7.5. I know it's Hilton South, but it's also good. It's not like Iowa State's playing Texas at Hilton South where they have 90-10 advantage. It's going to be 50-50 tomorrow. So it's going to be a true neutral site game despite Iowa State fans being crazy. But, yeah, let's go. Let's take the point.
Perfect 7 o'clock game. And finally, I guess these games are moving as I'm looking at the schedule. BYU, Texas Tech, ESPN2, TCU, Houston's ESPN. This will be ESPN2, and then the last one here will be on ESPN. So, finally, the Big 12 getting what they deserve.
Yeah. It's only the best league in America by a country mile. But, hey, is what it is. Kennedy's on.
Yep. Kennedy, it's a three-way. Let's go Kansas State.
K-Staters, all righty. Final game on the slate. Line just came out, Rush. And yep.
What do we got, 4.5?
Yeah.
Ooh, I know. That's interesting.
So, they played in Waco, their only meeting this year, and 62-59. I remember that game. Baylor lost their finale of the season. I think I lean Cincinnati. Baylor has not been good in the conference tournament over the years.
They have.
I don't know if Scott Drew puts much of an emphasis on it, or they just have struggled in Kansas City. But I think Cincinnati poses a threat here. With already playing a couple games in that building, they got the confidence. I think Cincinnati's going to beat Baylor. I kind of think we might get a K-State Cincy semifinal.
I'm rooting for nothing more than that.
Yeah,
that would be fantastic. Here's the only thing I'll say to that, because I completely agree with your logic. Here's the only difference this year is this is the first time in the Big 12 there's been the double bye. And Cincinnati's already had two. I mean, they had to fight back against West Virginia. They did have to hold on to Kansas, and they almost let that slip away. They ended up winning by 20. But they've really grinded here. And I know, you know, Scott Drew doesn't, you know, kind of what we were talking about earlier with Bill Self, right, is the whole why kill yourself in the Big 12 when you have the opportunity to win the Natty? And I think we all agree with that logic there. I think that's very fair logic. I agree with you that this game's going to be like that for 30 to 32 minutes. And then I think that under 8 timeout's going to kick in, and Scott Drew's going to be like, all right, guys, let's get this one. And then they end up winning by 6-8. So I'm going to take Baylor here, But this is one of the picks where, you know, I'm happy to be wrong about. And I think we agree. I would love to see a Kansas State Cincinnati showdown, especially Kansas State wins, you know, gets in as the 10, and since he finds a way to win this tournament, then do you put 11 teams in? I don't know, but you should. But I'll go Baylor -4.5. I think the double bye, and then it's a game for 32 minutes. Kennedy's going to join me, so Baylor as well.
Sick 'em. All righty, lock dog and tease. Lock. I'll go Kansas State +7.5. I'm pretty confident in that. I like K-State +7.5. We'll have another Farmageddon one possession game.
To answer this question right there, yes, we do cover football season. Yes. We had a football season before this. Obviously, we're in the midst of basketball, but we do all things Big 12. I'm going to lock Houston. I feel really good about that. I know it's double digits, but I'm going to lock Houston.
Dog for me. Give me those Bearcats.
I like it.
And a revenge. They survived the fucking... Dude, it should be West Virginia playing Baylor right now. That's what fucking kills me, because we would have beat Kansas tonight with that. With that version of Kansas, we would have beat Kansas. Cincy on the money line, gets it done over Baylor. Let's go.
I'm going to go KSU. Kansas State, let's keep it going. Let's keep the momentum going. It's also the only dog I picked, but yeah, I'm going to Kansas State. Let's have some fun.
Man, I hope we get a K-State fucking – dude, we need a K-State Cincy semifinal. Because that
– oh, yeah.
That guarantee – well, that – then
guarantees one of them.
Yeah, that – well, at least it guarantees one of them in the championship game. And then at least you have a playing game to leave no doubt with the committee.
You – if they are playing each other, then obviously one has to win. You have 10 teams.
If K-State is if it's K-State, they really have to be in.
Yeah,
they have more of a case than Cincinnati. Cincinnati got the Kansas version of the JV team tonight, and they have the bad losses. K-State, I think, has a better resume than Cincinnati. So
just a very fun, obnoxious hypothetical: Kansas State beats Iowa State, Cincinnati beats Baylor. Cincinnati ends up winning the Big 12, so they're an auto. Does K-State still make the tourney?
11 bids.
Is it 11 or is it 10?
It's probably going to be 10.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they'll give us more than 10. But, hey, we get K-State and fucking Cincinnati here tomorrow night. Let's go. So, all right, guys, it is 1245 Eastern or 1241 Eastern.
Do you want to do our money line real quick?
Yeah, do you want to do this K-State Cincy parlay?
I did pick Baylor. Let's have some fun, man. Let's sprinkle a little bit.
Yeah, Kansas State and Cincinnati money line late night Big 12 parlay.
We'll call it the 10-way Big 12 parlay.
Yep. Let's fucking go. Let's go K-State. Let's go Cincy. Let's get 10 in the dance. And get this Big 12 represented. So, all right, guys, we will be back not tomorrow. We'll be back Friday afternoon, our normal opening spot for the whole season. But instead, we'll just preview the two semifinal games. And then, obviously, we'll talk about what championship scenarios and all that. And, Selection Sunday will be Sunday. So we'll give you an episode there, too, breaking down the Big 12 matchups. And how that impacts it. So make sure you're subscribed to the Big 12 College Experience. Make sure you're subscribed to the College Basketball Experience, going live here in about an hour or so whenever they're done over at the main Sports Gambling Podcast. We all come together on one at youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Subscribe to the Ryan Rush Show. Yes, West Virginia basketball is over, but there's a coaching search going on now. So the news never stops, unfortunately.
From a content standpoint, fortunately, but you know, sometimes it's not always the content you want to cover. So there comes the unfortunately. And but hey, West Virginia, hopefully will be one of 10 teams next year. So, well, hey, now we're going to 16. So, you know, we got to bump it up again. There'll be 12 out of 16 teams.
Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and Arizona State. So, yep. We'll have, it'll be all of those. You see those graphics at the bottom, and yeah, two of those will be out, four will be in. It'll be an even bigger and better Big 12, the best damn league in the land. We are the Big 12 College Experience. I'm at Moneyline_Mac. He is at Rambling Rush. We are the Big 12 College Experience, and we are out of here.